وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين. إن جزاك الله خير مولانا سليم سام for all your beautiful duas. May Allah raise you in rank. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولكم في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we bring you a story of a thief during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Once during the rule of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, a certain thief was caught, found guilty, and handed over for punishment. Now, Islam ordains a law, you know, that when a person steals, then the Quran Majid declares that their hands should be cut off. Now, I remember once I heard from Hazrat Akim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, why does Islam ordain that when a person steals to a certain value, his hands should be cut off? Because he did not turn his hands in supplication towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used his hands contrary to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders that that hand be cut off. The Western world says that Islamic law is very, very barbaric. But if everybody abides by the law, like in Saudi Arabia or Muslim countries in the world, you can be a child can be walking with wads of notes in his hand and nobody will touch him. Shops are left open during the time of prayers of Salah and nobody would steal anything from those shops. Even shops that are selling gold jewelry, just throw a cloth in front of them and the owners of the shop go and perform their salah. But what beautiful laws, because there is life in it. Men of insight must understand this. But when they kill innocent people in Gaza, or when they and the so-called civilized countries of the world are part of this genocide, then that is not barbaric. Or Hiroshima and Nagasaki is bombed, that is not according to them barbaric. But when Islam chooses something to be good for the people, that they term as barbaric, which is the absolute short-sightedness. So the thief complained bitterly and he pleaded to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And he says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, this is my first crime. Please pardon my fault. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu replied, Allah forbid. Allah does not send down His revenge and punishment at the commission of crime for the first time. At most time, by way of expressing His bounty, He covers up the faults of servants. But when they continue sinning, then by way of Allah's justice, He seizes them and causes them disgrace, so that both Allah's attributes become exhibited, as giver of good news and as the warner of His punishment. So in this story, what lesson do we learn? There is a great lesson for those intending to follow the path of suluk. Suluk is a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those involved with looking at evil and similar sins for a long time and neglect to rectify and change their condition. Yet they are noted to be pious ones amongst men. For them to be at ease and be satisfied that Allah has concealed their sins and target Allah's attributes of vengeance and dishing out punishment for sins is a very foolish attitude. So when they look at the concealment of sins as a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they must not continue with those particular sins. Allah's exhibition of this graceful nature grants us the opportunity of rectification and sincere repentance. If we are not taking benefit from this opportunity, then his attribute of justice will cause us to become seized by calamities and disgrace. So at all times we should remain fearful of Allah, exhibiting the other attribute, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could take us to task. We should thus remain busy with seeking forgiveness and crying lamentfully before him, endeavoring to leave aside all sinful activities. At the same time, we should also continue to consult our spiritual guide, our Shaykh, to whom we entrust our rectification. When one continues to commit sins, the performance of much zikr and the recitation of wazifas will not be of full benefit. So the novice treading the path of suluk, the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in such a way will always be incomplete in his endeavors and remain far from his objective of reaching nearness to Allah. A person may be making zikr, and that zikr may be void of sincerity, and he disobeys his parents, or he doesn't display good character, then, you know, that is questionable. So this is so because not continuing on the path of sin on the one side and attaining Allah's nearness are two opposite and contrasting concepts. The main precondition for taqwa, the fear of Allah, and to be careful of one's duties to him and his creation. The main precondition for sainthood is not the performing of zikr profusely and the recitation of wazifas. However, it must be stressed that the recitation of zikr, etc., provide great help for the attaining of taqwa. So, on the one hand, we must engage in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that zikr, when we are remembering Allah, we must remember the ahkam and the laws of Allah. Remember the attributes of Allah. And never ever look at the ones that are only in our favor. That Allah is sattar. Allah forgives, Allah covers and conceals our faults. But look at the other ones where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can manifest his anger, where he is al-kahhar as well. And understanding that, we will stay away from sin. So make plenty of istighfar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to acquire within ourselves the taqwa and the fear of Allah, and the ability to avoid all sins, and also the ability to treat the sickness of our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to turn to some pious person with the intention of acquiring these good and noble qualities regarding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kunu ma'as sariqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, Kunu, that you must be with the sariqeen and the truthful ones. And in doing so, we will draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.